Of course. Now, to the main event of today, we have two amazing people here, too. We have Pamela Yates and Paco de Onis. We welcome you guys. Thank you guys for coming here.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Of course. And now, I'd just like to first say congratulations about everything, of the success of the festivals. I've been hearing that you guys have been just, like, the amazing recognition that these this movie and all the trilogy has been having, so I'd like to say congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Of course. And for those who don't know, could you tell us, like, the purpose of 500 Years, Life and Resistance, and the reasoning behind creating this trilogy?
Sure. Well, 500 Years, Life and Resistance is really about Mayan resistance in Guatemala. And the film starts out with the historic genocide trial of Efraín Ríos Montt. This was a person accused of genocide against indigenous people, the first person ever in the Americas, well, actually ever in the world, to be accused of that crime. And yet we know there were a lot of genocides against indigenous people in the world, including in our own country, the United States. So we follow this genocide trial, which was so darn dramatic, really, really dramatic. We went just to document the trial, but what happened at the trial was so incredible that we decided to follow out the repercussions from this genocide trial out into Guatemala society to see how the country had changed. And what we found surprised even us, because sometimes when you're making a documentary film, the people that you're making the film about and with actually write the script for you. In other words, they're the protagonists in their own history, and they're so active and so activized that what you follow becomes super surprising. And in the case of 500 Years, they actually poured out into the streets and had the largest demonstrations in the country's history. And because of everything that was going on, they deposed the sitting president and vice president and several ministers. It really shows you the power of the individual when combined with individuals and what kind of change we can welcome.
Of course. And it wasn't just genocide. It was like the taking of lands and the taking all of this. Like, I even did research about all this, and it was just surprising that I didn't know, and many people didn't actually know before learning about what you're doing. And I just love how you bringing that knowledge into those people, like especially like campuses like us who don't really know what's going on. So thank you guys for that. So we do have, you have had Sundance Special Jury Awards, Emmy nominated, earned you the Guggenheim Fellowship, Academy Award winning, your movie State of Fear, and has been translated into 47 languages and 154 like countries. So you receive countless awards and all of this recognition. So what drives you to keep working on these movies?
Well, we're driven to work on these films really because we feel that we can play a part in the world in telling stories that make people think about the possibilities of a more just world and a more beautiful world and a world that we would all want. And the process of telling, I think stories are what really connect people. We all have stories, we have our family stories, we have our community stories, we have every kind of story, and that's how people speak to each other, really. So we put out there, what we call granito, which is a tiny grain of sand. This concept that it takes a lot of tiny grains of sand to make change, and that's we feel that we're one of those grains of sand.
Also, we're always teasing out the universal themes in whatever stories we're telling. So that means the films are about justice, they're about injustice, they're about greed, and above all, they're about heroism. Because our films really, at the end of the day, say that there's these people doing these kinds of things that will give us a lot of hope. We're looking for people who are focused on solutions and how to change authoritarian government or a bad situation or an unjust situation. And they can be really energizing people.
To that end, how have you been able to take what you learn, working on past projects and bring them to the ones you work on now, the ones you work on in the future? Do you see that there are those kind of running threads that you can pull from?
Yeah, well, all of our films are about human rights and the quest for justice. That's kind of the overarching theme, and we're always looking for stories to try to highlight that or approach the subject in a really, really different way.
Yeah, and one of the aspects of the film that's going to be playing here tonight is that actually, even though it's a standalone film, it's also the third part of a trilogy of films about the Guatemalan struggle for justice, the Mayan struggle for justice.
And that trilogy began with When the Mountains Tremble, which came out in 1983. And then what turned out to be the second part of a trilogy was Granito, How to Nail a Dictator, and that came out in 2011. And now 500 Years, which had its world premiere at Sundance last year in January 2017. So the three films together, actually, there are many places where we've shown the three films together. You can see the threads that connect these three films that have different styles and different protagonists, but there's definitely a connection of the historical thread that runs through them.
Perfect. Now, Paco, what got you to the point with working as a executive producer with Skylight Pictures?
Well, when I met Pamela. I used to work in music. I had music venues and did a lot of work, in fact, with college radio station in Miami that promoted a lot of the shows that we had at our place there. But I knew a lot about music in Colombia because I used to have a music festival there. And Pamela was making a film about music in the north coast of Colombia. And so a few people told her to look me up, and that's how we met. And we worked on that film, and then from there on, we have been working together.
This masterpiece, of course. I love it. So speaking of music, you guys have had the artist Sarah Kurucic actually have a song, one of her songs, in the movie. Now, I've told you guys this before. That song that I heard made me feel as like if I was going through a journey. Like, did you guys reach out to her to help you with the music in this movie, or how did that work?
You know, I had started to follow her on social media. I heard about her. I listened to some short things that she had recorded, and I was really interested. And funnily enough, she came to Brooklyn to play at a club, and some people told me I should really go see her at the club. And so I invited her to come to our editing room and watch part of the film, which was in the rough cut stage at that point. So she came, and we showed her and her manager and the other musicians in her band about 20 minutes of the film. And she called a few days later and said she really would like to write a piece of music, a song for the film. And we said, con mucho gusto, bienvenida sea. Mm-hmm. And so, and what about if we film you actually doing the recording in Guatemala City and we work together to make a music video as well as use the song in the film? So that became a beautiful collaboration. And actually, Sara has been traveling around with us with the film and doing some concerts as well.
That's amazing. Guys, if you haven't heard the song, it's called, well, in English, Children of the Land. It's performed in a Mayan language as well as Spanish as well, and it's so beautiful, guys. Definitely check that out.
So how has being able to interact with all these rich cultures, these different people, influenced your process?
You know, that's one of the beautiful things about being a documentary filmmaker. You know, we're not rich, but we have a very rich life. And the richness of our life is based on the people that we meet and we're able to interact with. I mean, the protagonist of When the Mountains Tremble, the first film about Guatemala, was a 22-year-old Mayan Indian who was living in exile, in political exile from her own country. And she came to our studio and we started to work together to incorporate her voice into When the Mountains Tremble. Well, the film helped put her on the world stage. And 10 years later, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Her name is Rigoberta Menchú Tum. And she was the first indigenous person to be awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And at that time, the youngest person. She was 32 years old. So I like to think that we create a virtuous cycle, that they are part of the film, and then the film becomes part of them, and together we go out into the world.
That's great. I love it.
Can each of you talk a little bit about your backgrounds and how you got into filmmaking and telling stories?
Sure. I grew up in Latin America, mostly in Brazil and Argentina. And I grew up in a time of dictatorships. So that had a big effect on me, not only living through the dictatorships, but also living through the bringing down of those dictatorships and how the human rights movement in Latin America and the movement for justice actually gained enough force in spite of the fact that these dictatorships were vicious and they killed people and they tortured people, they jailed people. They were very, very repressive. And nevertheless, I would say that there was a big victory for the human rights movement that I saw. And so that gave me a lot of hope that, you really can be part of change. And it's possible in spite of tremendous odds against you. So that, I think, is one reason, like I was saying earlier, we like to tell these stories. The stories we tell are stories that are meant to inspire because they're stories of people that are actually working for change.
I'm from the Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania, a coal mining region, and I grew up in an Irish-American enclave. And one of the things about my town, which was 2,000 people, was that your currency in trade was how good a story you could tell. How good a storyteller were you? And my father was a really great storyteller. So I like to think that I carry on that tradition because it was a poor area economically, but rich in culture. And I think that the storytelling culture and sort of how we were able to laugh at the forces that oppressed us really gave us a lease on life and this ability to connect with lots of people. In my father's case, it was, 20 people. In our case, as filmmakers, we can connect with millions of people. The first film I ever remember seeing when I was a little girl was To Kill a Mockingbird. And in To Kill a Mockingbird, the protagonist is really a 6-year-old, which I was at the time that I saw the film. And the story is really about how she made change. And you never think that children or young people can make change, but we see that actually they are the ones who do make change and can lead the rest of us into making change. And so I think that film really inspired me to tell filmic stories.
Well, now with March for Our Lives, we see young people making change, don't we?
Especially now today, with all the gun control and everything. So that's beautiful that you said that. Thank you so much. So what is one thing that you guys really want people who watch this screening today to leave with, to really, with the whole Common Experience program here that's going to be shown today?
I would say to, think about what kind of world you want to live in, how you can help make that world happen. And you'll see... I think one of the messages that comes out of the film is people power, that, people can make change. You have a role to play in your life and in your world.
I think this notion of resistance, and what we mean by resistance is nonviolent opposition to the forces in your life that you're not happy with. So what is your resistance? How are you going to make change? And also, how are you going to contribute your granito de arena, your tiny grain of sand, to positive social change? Because we all have a granito de arena to contribute.
Of course. I love it. That's beautiful. And is there anything else that you guys want to leave with or say to our KTSW audience?
Come tonight at 6 o'clock, no cost to the audience, and students and community members are most welcome. And we'll be speaking after the film, too, so we can hear your questions and your comments.
Yes, and we can answer all your questions, hopefully, answer all your questions right there.
Well, and there's also a workshop going on tomorrow, right?
There is definitely a workshop tomorrow that's going to happen here on campus from 12:30 to 1:50 and ELA 116. If you are interested also in making documentary films, that's also a workshop for that. And once again, that's first come, first served. So please come out tomorrow from 12:30 to 1:50, ELA 116, guys. It is going to be amazing. And once again, guys, I'd like to thank both of you guys for the work you're doing. It's beautiful, and continue to inspire people in everything that you guys do. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Of course. And up next, guys, we have Paintree Hotel by Scarce. So you're listening to KTSW Other Side Drive.